Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Nicole, and we are on another episode of The Period Party. I have Robin Euclid with me today. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Nicole. I'm so happy to be on The Period Party, which is like the best name for for a podcast ever.
I know. I kind of think so, too. I know. I'm so stoked to have you. And I just want to introduce you a little bit and talk a little bit about what we're going to cover today. So there's a lot going on. Robin is a certified wellness expert, a TV personality, and the author of the new book, Go With Your Guts. And it's all about the Insider's Guide to Banishing the Bloat. She has 75 digestion-friendly recipes, and it's actually available now. So go out and get Robin's book. And just so everyone knows a little bit about you, I'll tell everyone a little bit about you, and then we can just jump into what we're going to talk about. But basically, Robin is, awesome. Robin's known for her straightforward, supportive style. She helps her clients through her health coaching practice, Your Healthiest You, break free from the craziness of dieting and connect to their inner sparkle, their truest and best selves through no-nonsense action steps. She's been featured by The Cooking Channel, The Wall Street Journal, Health, Men's Fitness, Fitness, The Huffington Post, CBS News, Nylon, and more. Robin lives in New York City, near me, and Los Angeles, not near me, but her true home is in the kitchen, whipping up easy, healthy, and delicious meals, or eats, meals and eats. I'm so excited to have you here. We're gonna cover a lot. I got so much to ask you. This is gonna be good.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. I've got some squash roasting in the oven for after the show. So, like, I'm really geared up. I've got my giant glass of water. So I'm 100% all yours.
Super. I know. I don't have squash roasting in my oven, unfortunately. I'm sure your house smells amazing.
It does. You can totally come over, though. I'll share with you any time.
Oh, thanks. Okay, awesome. Yay. All right. So just so everyone knows, we're going to be talking about how we digest our food is basically how we digest our lives. There is so much truth to that sentence. We're going to cover obsessions with weight and diet, exercise, and even health that, you know, just don't have to be a part of your everyday life. We're going to talk about the fact that your stomach does not have teeth and chewing really is the name of the game. And then we'll cover something that I think is really close to Robin's heart, food is love, and how to connect with loved ones in ways other than food. So I would love to start out by talking a little bit about, you know, just this idea of how we digest our food is how we digest our lives. I'd love to just get your opinion on that and have you share just this connection between our gut function and our gut instinct, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I realized as a kid that I was holding a lot of anxiety and a lot of tension in my gut, and I always had a stomach ache growing up, and I really thought it was, you know, I'm allergic to this. I had some allergies and sensitivities going on, but really it was about how I was stressed about my life, even as a kid. You know, if I had a test the next day, I was either open it up, was it pooping all night or not pooping all night, you know, and just feeling this like tension and this tightness. And I felt like from that place, like, how was I able to really do or focus on anything, right? You know, everything starts with your gut. It's literally the center of your body and your emotional core. And I realized, you know, even as I got older, and that was still holding true, the more that I was holding anxiety or tension or, you know, and of course layering on all these poor food choices, I just became this kind of like stressed out, overweight mess. And, you know, when I connected it back to, you know, how I was approaching my food and how I was approaching mealtimes and how I was taking care of my belly, and realized, you know, how everything else couldn't really feel calm and clear from without cleaning that up first. It was like this giant aha moment for me and for my clients and my practice. And so really, you know, what's going on down here is a reflection of what's going on out there. And, you know, when we all, it's so popular right now to talk about, you know, spirituality and feeling connected to our work and tuning in. And yeah, I want that for you. I want that for all of your listeners. But I found that really the place to start or the easiest way in is through these simple gut healing practices.
I love that. And I will say that I was that child as well. I remember every time I had to get on a plane, I would throw up. Every time my parents were traveling and we weren't going to be with them, I would throw up. I was totally that kid too, so I get it. And it's really interesting because we, of course, carry that into our adult lives and then end up, you know, with various other health or gut issues that potentially turn into health issues. I mean, that was definitely the case for me. And I can really relate to what you're saying about how much our gut function impacts not only our physical health, but our emotional health as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be tricky to go to kind of heal it from the other way in, right? You know, so maybe we try meditating or we try exercise or movement or we try, you know, something we read in a book that we think, you know, could work for us. And, you know, us women today, we're really heady. We got a lot of, we think a lot of things and we feel all the feelings quite a bit. And, you know, and that's why I wanted to break it down in my book in a simple way that I could say, okay, you know, we want this. We want to feel more relaxed in our bellies, more relaxed and connected to our lives. Here's a few simple practices to find your way into that, that you can focus on, that really are easy, you know, that isn't going to be, well, just meditate, which is great. But, you know, I personally do really well with a specific to-do that's simple, and I can just focus on one thing. And a lot of people do as well. So that was my approach with the book and teaching people how to heal themselves.
Awesome. Do you have one of one of those simple to-dos, for instance? I know you mentioned meditation a couple of times. Yeah, so I'm just curious, like, what if you had something that you wanted to throw out there?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the major things that I leave within the book is something I call the 1-2-3 food freedom tool. And it's basically three steps. It's super simple. And when I created it, it was along the lines of, okay, if you're running to a meeting or you're running to pick up your kids or you're sitting and eating even at your desk and you can't get away for, you know, a proper lunch break, what is something that you can still do that will benefit and start to heal your digestive system, even if you can't do the holy grail of, right, no distractions and extra time around meals and really eating in a calm way. Those are great things, and I talk about those too, but how can we start from a place of, okay, this is the reality of my life right now. How can I still make this better? And so 1-2-3 food freedom tool. So step one is to actually look at what you're about to eat. So
that's a novel idea.
I know. We grab it. We're like, again, on the go. Maybe it's an apple or maybe it's your full lunch, but like taking a second to actually take it in with your eyes, process that you're about to eat, does so many things for your body. It gets your saliva going in your mouth so you can start that digestive process, because that's where your digestive process begins, in your mouth with your teeth and your saliva and everything you got going there. And it mentally prepares you for the fact that you're about to eat. You know, we spend so many meals where we wolf down our food and we're starving and we're 3/4 of the way through our meals or we're done even, and we're like, I didn't even remember that I ate. And so one of the first things to do is just take a second and look at it. And I even encourage you, if it's something that's maybe not the healthiest or most serving choice for your body, do it anyways. Just get in the practice of just starting here and seeing what you could transform or change, even if it is, you know, not the best choice. And then
absolutely.
Step two is to take a breath. You know, like even right now, a full-bodied, deep, belly-relaxing breath. And the reason for that is the easiest way, we say we want to be more present during mealtimes, right? I would love to eat more mindfully. You know, mindful eating, it feels like this elusive thing that, you know, you're not on Instagram or you're not on Facebook or you're not doing all these things, you know, at the same time. But how, you know, it's really hard to make those choices. You know, Instagram is really fun to be on. You and I have a great time on Instagram. you know, so, how do we turn away from that instead of saying, well, I can't go on social media, what can I do instead? And just taking a big, deep breath right there, right then, is going to bring you into your body and help you be more present. And this idea of presence, right, again, something we all want, feels really elusive, hard to obtain, but here it is. That's the simplest thing you can do, right? When you're about to eat, look at your food, take a big calming breath. So that's step two. Any questions about one or two before I go to three?
No, it's so funny. You said it, take a deep breath, and I took a deep breath, and I was like, I think it's so underrated it's underrated. We should definitely be doing it more.
Yeah, and especially something during our eating time. You know, the more relaxed we can be in our gut, literally, like think about what that breath, it made you feel better, made you feel more open, it made you feel more calm. Guess what? It did all of those exact same things in your gut, in your stomach, in your intestines, in your lower intestines, in your everything that you've got going, your spleen, all of your organs got to take that breath
exactly.
And when our bodies and our organs are given just a little bit more space to do their job, how much more they can respond for you and do their job better, right? And you don't have to think or stress as much about what your belly's doing or whether you're going to be bloated after the meal. You've given your body a chance to do what it knows how to do without you having to change.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, it's exactly that. It's the easiest thing. So, okay, so keep going. Step one, step two.
Let's start. I know we don't like to start with the easiest things. We like to make things really complicated, which is what was so interesting to me when I was researching for this book. I was like, there isn't much on the market talking to my women, you know, my cool girls who can take a step back. You know, it's almost like we're all looking at steps like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but like what's zero? You know, how do we start at zero and see what that can do and just focus on 0 to 3, you know, at the most for the next couple of months and see what that heals and takes care of in my body before we get to the supplements, before we get to the specialist, you know, before all that, that it can be that simple for a lot of us. And obviously not for everyone, but for a lot of us. So finally, step three, which is my favorite tip. I give this to everybody. Some people like to hear it. Most people don't because, again, it's like kind of annoying, and I don't mind being annoying, and that is to chew your food. So chew your food completely, ideally until liquid or at least till mush or at least until way more than what you've been doing.
At the very least.
Because most of us, you know, and a lot of your listeners may be thinking, oh, yeah, I know about that or I need to be better at that. And so this is your reminder, and, you know, I'll tell you why it's so important. Or a lot of your listeners may be thinking, you know what, you're right. I don't even think about chewing my food. I just get it down or get to the next thing, or I don't think I have time for that. Or, you know, probably chew it like 3 to 5 bites at the most and then swallow it practically whole. And then wonder why, you know, my body's feeling out of balance. And as a hormone health expert, you know, one may not think of how this connects to their period and their cycle and finding, you know, fixing their periods, literally. But it's all connected. You know, when your body is being overburdened and overtaxed in a way that it wasn't designed to be, it pulls its resources from everything else.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I got to say really quickly that this is in the first module in my program because it's so basic to our overall health that everyone needs to know it and everyone is not doing it. We have moved into a world where people literally chew like a piece of steak maybe 5 times and swallow it. It's insane. And then we're struggling with major bloating and constipation and diarrhea and all these other gut health issues, not to mention the hormonal health issues that eventually come from the gut health issues. So I'm so happy you're saying this because I think that we all need to really be focused on this one little thing that can really change your health in quite a remarkable way.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so happy that it's in your, you know, it's like the more women that hear this and men even, you know, the more impact it can have. And yeah, exactly. It affects everything, especially your hormonal health. And, you know, a couple tips around the chewing that I actually like to give. So you know, chewing, what does it do? You know, you've got your enzymes in your mouth that are designed to break down your food for you. And that way, when it's liquid, think of the difference between putting liquid into the rest of your body, you know, that food that's completely processed first by your teeth and as much as it possibly can be, versus something, right, that's kind of a big piece of, you know, still relatively large that then your body has to break down. So, you know, allowing your digestive system, like I said, the same thing with breathing and looking at your food, you know, to be a whole part of the whole process. But what this also does is slow you down and bring you again more into the present. And you're going to know when you've had enough food at a reasonable amount of time. And it will, you know, instead of saying, I need to slow down more when I eat, you could say, well, I'm just going to focus on chewing to liquid. Right. And for some reason, I just, you know, like it just, that shifts something in us. It shifts something in me. It shifts something in all my clients. You know, it allows us to have a thing to focus on instead of what we don't want, which is always so much easier. And then, you know, we get to enjoy our food more. We get to be present with it more. And then the couple tips that I was, you know, mentioning is that, if you can't do this at every meal, right? If you're like, okay, I get 5 minutes for lunch, Robin. Like, what the heck am I supposed to do? You know, I would say, you know, start somewhere. Even if you can only spend a few mouthfuls, a few bitefuls, rather, of your meal doing this practice, great. Better than not. You know, if it's only right at the beginning of your meal and then you've got to get it down or do whatever it is that you need to do to get on with your day, that's fine. Then you've started somewhere. And even that, being more mindful in that way can have an impact. And then, you know, here's a little secret that I'll let you guys in on is, and I don't actually remember if I put this in the book, I think I might have, but you don't have to chew. Ideally, you chew slowly and mindfully and slow the whole process down. But if you actually just chew pretty quick, like chop, but you chew into liquid that way, it still counts. It's not as calming for your body, but you've masticated it way more than if you hadn't done that. So we can all be, like, slightly faster chewers, and it will still get the job done better than definitely before. So it doesn't necessarily have to be this slow, complete drawn-out process. So that's my little, like, you guys can be off the hook when needed tip.
I love it. I feel like that was chewing 101.
Totally.
Perfect.
I know. I'm like, what's 102? I'm like, what are we going to talk about next after this?
Well, I actually really wanted to ask you about just the obsessions with weight, diet, and exercise and all of these things that are, you know, I think plague so many of my clients. And it was a major issue for me growing up and into my 20s. It wasn't until I turned about 30 that I took a little bit of a chill pill around my weight and the dieting and the exercise and all this stuff. So I'm just curious. I know that you have quite a story about that, and I would love for you to share, you know, how that has shaped your life.
Yeah, I was the poster child for dieting. You know, as soon as I could decide that, you know, I was old enough that something was wrong with my body, of course something was. And, you know, I was definitely the girl that had, like, a booty and a half and some hips, and they happened really early for me. Of course, I didn't get the boobs with it also. I just had the butt and the hips. So, you know, and it wasn't what I wanted. You know, I wanted to look like a model. I thought that, to me, was what was perfect. And so I began this very unfortunate cycle of not being so kind to my body. You know, what could I restrict that day and then eventually overeat at night? If something said diet or low fat or fat free, oh my God, you're my new best friend because I could eat a whole box of you. And, you know, like the Snackwells generation that wrecked so many of us. And for years and years of going through this process, like, I completely lost my intuitive voice. I completely lost any idea of what was health meant or healthy meant, and my body lost its way. You know, it lost what it knew how to do naturally. And I'm very fortunate. My mom cooked most of our meals from scratch, so I had those options available to me. I didn't realize that, you know, whatever it was that she was making for dinner, like salmon, roasted salmon, veggies, and, you know, some rice dish or something was going to be way better than some, you know, a lean cuisine that I defrosted. You know, I didn't understand how real food was processed by your body because no one really told me, you know, like, you know, other than, you know, there were some comments of, oh, you know, your booty's getting big or maybe you don't want to eat that mac and cheese around my home. Not from a malicious place, but you just, you know, you want the best for your kids. And if you see them getting unhappy with their bodies, you try and offer suggestions, whether you know what's right for them or not. And that
continued
all through my 20s. And even now, you know, into my 30s, I have to stay on top of this. And my way of healing was, you know, I went fortunate enough. I've always had a passion for cooking. So I've always loved to be in the kitchen. I've always loved to be around, you know, fresh ingredients and making these really cool foods. And just, you know, that was something that came naturally to me. And I was dating this guy who's now my husband and started cooking for us in this really awesome way. And it just became a bigger and bigger presence in my life. And eventually I found the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I was like, "This, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know where this is going to go, but this feels right." And it was a massive gut instinct hit for me, you know, like, just do this. Don't think about it. Don't worry about how it could work or not work. Just go. And I did, and I listened to that voice, and what a ride it's been since then, because I actually learned for the first time what it meant to be healthy in the world and in my body, right? Because there's so many ideas outside of us of what health means, and, you know, eating paleo could be the greatest thing for one person and kill someone else, you know, or vice versa.
Exactly.
If you're vegan, you know, it's like, yes, here's an idea of what's healthy. There's some things we can all agree on, right? You know, drinking a lot of water, calming down around our food, you know, tons and tons of vegetables, some healthy fats, healthy protein. But outside of that, it's really up for grabs as to what works best for you. And so, you know, I opened my coaching practice and continued to really experiment on myself. It's almost like the unhealthy dieting became healthy dieting through my coaching practice, right? It was like all the things I'd read about and then try on myself, still in this secret quest to just be skinny. You know, I could say it was for health, but I was like, ugh, I don't like my body. And I look at photos now and it's unbelievable to me. From vacations and trips that I look at them and I'm like, I still didn't think I was skinny enough. And I'm very honest about that. And that wasn't that long ago. And I still have to stay on top of that. I still have to work through that. And so for me, the real path to healing was, again, learning about it, but also learning how I could focus on these habits that were healing for my body. And the more I felt like I was healing my body, the more I felt like I was able to connect to that intuition, that voice, and that inner sparkle and feel like, okay, I feel charged up. I know what's right for me. And the more that I did that, the happier I was in my body and the less I was obsessing about whatever pounds it was or wasn't. And I just felt that joy and that place of connection. And that, to me, was freedom, finally, from the dieting insanity and my whole long food story I just shared with you guys that I hope I didn't bore you.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm sitting here nodding my head because, like you, I was a Snackwell devotee in the 90s as well. And right? I mean, it was the Snackwell generation, literally. And my mom also cooked for us pretty much every day. And we had healthy meals. And I was like, I don't really want all that. Like, I need to have something that is, you know, 600 calories and zero fat and all the rest of it. I mean, it was just reversing that mindset took me years. And it does, it's the same for so many women who are dealing with hormonal imbalances or are just, you know, feeling like they are overweight, whether they have, you know, a thyroid condition, whatever it is. And the problem is that, of course, healthy fat and good food is going to reverse all of that. But we've been so conditioned to think otherwise, which is so unfortunate.
Yep. And it's interesting, like, I wonder, so we came of the Snackwell generation, like, I wonder what the future girls are working through. You know, is it more the idea of orthorexia, you know, we're being obsessed with healthy eating? Is there something else that's out there that everyone's connecting to that we, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder what the next one is. Are we really as a society and future generations really starting to heal with this new thinking and all this new food and ways of eating around us. Like, I wonder, you know, how that's playing out.
I'm so curious, too. I think that social media plays a huge part in it now. Thank God we didn't have that back then. I mean, that would have made my whole situation a lot worse, likely. But, you know, I am curious as well about what, you know, how what younger girls are facing and dealing with now, too.
Yeah. We should ask them. We should find them.
We should. I know. We should totally ask them. So we have about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to just cover something else really quickly that I felt was really important because I talk about this extensively as well. You mentioned in your book, and you've talked about it extensively, about this idea of the good poop list, which includes foods that are, you know, will have you pooping like a pro. And I would just, you know, I think that, I mean, I would say that about 95% of women who come to me deal with some degree of constipation. And so this to me is a really valuable list. And so I'm just curious if you have any insights or anything you'd like to share around that.
Yes, we're all not pooping enough, you know. So,
yeah,
and it's a major, major issue. And, you know, part of it is that emotional holding on, you know, feeling tense and tight, and it's our organs and bowels are reflecting that. So first tip is really same kind of thing that we brought to the food, our eating experience with the 1-2-3 food freedom tool. You know, how can you sort of interpret that for the bathroom, not quite looking at the toilet, but can you breathe in there more? Can you allow yourself a little bit more time, you know, taking that mindset that I talked about more than the specific steps and applying that to the body as well. And then, you know, the first tip that I always give, it's not quite on the good poop list, but, you know, having a giant amount of water first thing in the morning so you can flush out your system. So you can, you know, I love this analogy, but it's kind of gross, but, you know, so you can, the poop, think of the poop as like the boat, you know, and it actually has a river to flow through. So you want to provide that river from water before the coffee, before the tea. So I really suggest to help make that happen, you know, get big, big mason jars, fill them with water. You can put a lid. Some people have cats or kids, so a lid is really helpful with those mason jars. Put it on your nightstand before you go to sleep, and that way you've got it right there. So you can drink it throughout your morning. You don't even have to go get it. And everyone's so busy in the morning. So if it's on, you're like, oh, I need to drink water before I leave the house, it may not happen. And then a couple things, you know, on the good poop list, definitely something for your women, I'm sure, that you talk about so much is having enough healthy fat-containing foods. You know, we really need to those fats to help our body metabolize the nutrients that we're getting and provide almost like that slick and that buffer, that softening. And so, you know, olives are great, coconut, avocado, wild fatty fish we're hearing so much about, you know, even sardines, you know, eat your sardines, ladies, you know, sear them in a pan with some lemon or mash it with some avocado, use some sauerkraut, raw, fermented, unpasteurized sauerkraut is so rich in probiotics, such a massive staple in the book and the good poop list. All those things are really going to help. And then something that you and I are massive fans of, which is bone broth. You know, bone broth is really healing for the gut, mucosal lining. Your body loves it. Your women's bodies and bellies especially love it. So, you know, there's more in the book, but definitely those a few of those items, just adding in those every day and focusing on those are going to help your body be able to go more. And like I said, breathing and just relaxing in there just a little bit more.
Woo! I love it. Such a good list. Okay, well, now I would love for you to just share with us a little bit about your new book and where everyone can find it and where they can find you. So much good info to share.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, my book is new and out, and I'm so happy that everyone's loving it and cooking up a storm from it, as Nicole has very authentically been sharing. You think you've made already 3 recipes from the book or something, and it makes me just so unbelievably happy. You know, I designed it to be something really beautiful that was really readable. So it's half high-level coaching guide for digestive health and half cookbook, full-color, beautiful cookbook. Recipes are really simple. They're not complicated digestive health recipes. They're more like very simple, basic foods, very pared down, delicious recipes, and therefore that makes it easy for your gut to process it because it's something you actually made yourself, which will always be a better option. So if you'd like to snag the book, you can head to gowithyourgutbook.com. So it's the name of the book, gowithyourgutbook.com. And, you know, as we've got Barnes & Noble, everyone's selling it. And then basically the hashtag is also gowithyourgutbook.com. So when you get the book, I want to see what you're making. So make sure you tag me on social media. And Nicole will share about that. It's my name, Robin Youkilis, R-O-B-Y-N-Y-O-U-K-I-L-I-S. And then Go With Your Gut book as well. And I can see what you guys are cooking and your little aha moments from the book. And I hope that this was helpful to get you guys started on the path for better healing and feeling better in your body and your belly, for sure.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Robin. I really appreciate you sharing all of this information with my listeners. I, again, feel so strongly that there are so many women out there who just need a simplified, pared-down understanding of how their gut functions and what they can do to support it. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Everybody.